Today is the 17th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is awesome to be here with you. I'm grateful to be here with you today. And thrilled to be standing here and taking another step forward in my own life, on my own journey. But together, we're all taking a step forward in our own lives, in our own contexts, in our own stories, on our own journeys. And I'm grateful that we can be on this journey together, allowing the scriptures to speak into our stories. So, man, we're working through Romans right now, and that is, like, you just really gotta pay attention. But it is so rich in what it's saying. We're also working through the book of 1 Chronicles right now. So let's jump in. 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1 through 26, verse 11. The divisions of the descendants of Aaron were these. The sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no sons, so Eleazar and Ithamar became the priests. Along with Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, David organized them according to the appointed duties in their service. Since more chief men were found among the sons of Eleazar than among the sons of Ithamar, they organized them by lot, all alike, for there were officers of the sanctuary and officers of God among both the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. This scribe Shemaiah, son of Nethanel, a Levite, recorded them in the presence of the king and the officers, and Zadok the priest, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, and the heads of ancestral houses of the priests and of the Levites. One ancestral house being chosen for Eleazar, and one chosen for Ithamar. The first lot fell to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malchijah, the sixth to Mijamin, the seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abijah, the ninth to Jeshua, the tenth to Shechaniah, the 11th to Eliashib, the 12th to Jachim, the 13th to Huppah, the 14th to Jeshabib, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th to Emer, the 17th to Hetzir, the 18th to Hapazez, the 19th to Petatiah, the 20th to Jehezkel, the 21st to Jachin, the 22nd to Gamol, the 23rd to Deliah, the 24th to Maaseiah. These had as their appointed duty in their service to enter the house of the Lord, according to the procedure established for them by their ancestor Aaron, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. And of the rest of the sons of Levi, of the sons of Amram, Shubael, of the sons of Shubael, Jediah, of Rehabiah, of the sons of Rehabiah, Ishiah the chief, of the Izharites, Shalomot, of the sons of Shalomot, Jeav, the sons of Hebron, Jeriah the chief, Amariah the second, Jehaziel the third, Jekamim the fourth, the sons of Uzziel, Micah, of the sons of Micah, Shamir, the brother of Micah, Ishiah, of the sons of Ishiah, Zechariah, the sons of Merari, Mali and Mushi, the sons of Jaaziah, Bino, the sons of Merari, of Jaaziah, Bino, Shoham, Zakur, and Ibri. Of Mahli, Eleazar, who had no sons. Of Kish, the sons of Kish, Jeremiah. The sons of Mushi, Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites according to their ancestral houses. These also cast lots corresponding to their kindred, the descendants of Aaron, in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the heads of ancestral houses of the priests and of the Levites, the chief as well as the youngest brother. David and the officers of the army also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. The list of those who did the work and of their duties was: of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Azarela. Sons of Asaph under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Ziri, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah, 6, under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with the lyre in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uzziah, Shebuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliata, Gidalti, and Romanti Ezer, Joshbikasha, Malotai, Hotir, Mahatzio. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, according to the promise of God to exalt him, for God had given Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. They were all under the direction of their father for the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the order of the king. They and their kindred, who were trained in singing to the Lord, all of whom were skillful, numbered 288, and they cast lots for their duties, small and great, teacher and pupil alike. The first lot fell for Asaph to Joseph, the second to Gedaliah, to him and his brothers and his sons, 12. The third to Zakur, his sons and his brothers, 12. The fourth to Izri, his sons and his brothers, 12. The fifth to Nethaniah, his sons and his brothers, 12. The sixth to Bukiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. The seventh to Jezarela, his sons and his brothers, 12. The eighth to Jeshiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. The ninth to Mattaniah, his sons and his brothers, 12. The tenth to Shimei, his sons and his brothers, 12. The 11th to Azarel, his sons and his brothers, 12. The 12th to Hashabiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 13th, Shubael, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 14th, Mattathiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 15th, to Jeremoth, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 16th, to Hananiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 17th, to Joshbekarsha, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 18th, to Hanani, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 19th, to Malatai, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 20th, to Eliata, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 21st, to Hotir, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 22nd, to Gidalti, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 23rd, to Mahatsio, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 24th, to Romamti Azer, his sons and his brothers, 12. As for the divisions of the gatekeepers, of the Korahites, Meshelemiah, son of Kor, of the sons of Asaph. Meshelemiah had sons, Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zebediah the third, Jothniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, Elionai the seventh, Obed-Edom had sons, Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sakar the fourth, Netanel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Pulatai the eighth, for God blessed him. Also, to his son Shemaiah, sons were born who exercised authority in their ancestral houses, for they were men of great ability. The sons of Shemaiah, Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brothers were able men, Elihu and Shemachiah. All these, sons of Obed-Edom, with their sons and brothers, were able men, qualified for the service. 62 of Obed-Edom. Meshelemiah had sons and brothers, able men, 18. Hosa, of the sons of Merari, had sons. Shimri, the chief, for though he was not the firstborn, his father made him chief. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brothers of Hosea totaled 13. Romans 4, 1 through 12. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. So also David pronounces a blessing on those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Is this blessing then pronounced only on the circumcised, or also on the uncircumcised? We say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the ancestor of all who believe without being circumcised, and who thus have righteousness reckoned to them. And likewise, the ancestors of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but follow the example of the faith that our ancestor Abraham had before he was circumcised. Psalm 13. Prayer for deliverance from enemies. To the leader, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Proverbs 19, 15 and 16. Laziness brings on deep sleep. An idle person will suffer hunger. Those who keep the commandment will live. Those who are heedless of their ways will die. Okay, I just want to face something in reality here, because Romans is such a foundational piece of our understanding of our faith. And there's this kind of term that floats around called deconstruction right now. And it's got this really, really, really bad, well, I mean, it just depends on where you are on the spectrum of faith. But often it's like, this is a really, really bad thing that leads to complete deception. What we are watching, though, in Romans is Paul reverse engineering, deconstructing certain aspects of Judaism, his Hebrew Jewish faith. And it wasn't to dismantle, it wasn't to do away with any of his reverence or understanding of Judaism or anybody else's. It was to reframe it in order to open it up for greater and deeper depth and understanding. And this is what had Paul absolutely in the bullseye, on the hot seat with his fellow Jews everywhere he went. And this reframe was fundamentally about whether a person could earn their way into the favor of God by their obedience to the Mosaic Law. Because that concept had been deeply embedded into Hebrew culture. And so Paul is saying out loud, that's why he's on the hot seat, and that's why a prophetic voice typically is on the hot seat. Paul is saying out loud what everybody's actually wrestling with, the fact that nobody could obey the law perfectly. And so what Paul is saying is there's a way, and that is a big reframe. Because the Jews believe that their obedience and adherence to the law was not only like exclusive to Jewish people, but also the path that they would be saved So Paul is saying it's different than that, which is very disruptive. But he's doing it by revealing a story that predates their cultural understanding. Paul's basically saying, we've got the cart before the horse here. You and me and we have forgotten a major piece of our story that existed before the Mosaic Law ever came to be. So Paul unpacks this by referencing two important people, Abraham and David. And so I quote Paul, Abraham, humanly speaking, is the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover? Since he's the first one, like, what did he discover about being made right with God? Because if it was his good deeds that made him acceptable, then he could hold on to that and brag about it, boast about it. But that wasn't how it happened. Like, that's not the way. The scriptures say Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. So Paul goes on to reveal, like, Abraham wasn't circumcised at the time that he put his faith in God. And that, like, that's controversial. Like, we don't think anything about that, but that is a very controversial statement. For a Hebrew male, circumcision was this outward sign, this irreplaceable sign in their bodies of obedience to the law and being in covenant. Paul is just saying, okay, got it, no problem. But the thing is, when Abraham met God and became righteous, he wasn't circumcised. He wasn't obeying the law. There wasn't a law to obey. So what Paul is trying to draw out by pulling this apart, or deconstructing it, as it were, is to say, there's a piece of all of this that is essential that we are missing. And that piece is faith. It was faith that started everything. Not a set of regulations and customs and holidays that modify our behavior into perfection. It was faith. So this is a compelling argument that a Jew would pay attention to, even if they just could not make the leap beyond tradition and ritual. But it would be compelling because it reveals that righteousness before God, like the path of trying to follow a list of rules and ethics and regulations and moral codes, isn't actually going to achieve perfection. That is something that can only be received as a gift from God by faith. And faith was the beginning of all of the changes that would allow a person to be obedient and trust. Paul says when people work, like, their pay isn't a gift. They're due it. They earned it. But people coming into righteousness before God do not come because they are due it, because it is owed to them because of their work. It's because of their faith. Their faith in God, their trust in God, that brings forgiveness, that brings righteousness, all references Psalm 32 to show that God's forgiveness was something to be joyful about, but to be experienced as a gift. And then Paul turns to the question of whether God was merciful to those who were not of the Jewish faith. Another massively controversial thing to be saying or talking about. So I quote Paul, is this blessing only for the Jews? Or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we've been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith, but how did that happen? Did it happen after he was circumcised? Or did it happen before he was circumcised? And Paul says clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. This is like the crux of an inclusive gospel that welcomes anyone who believes. And this is like core embedded into our Christian understanding of the work of Jesus. And yet, just like in Paul's time, we so often still have the cart before the horse. We still lose the plot. We still find ourselves struggling, right? To be good boys and girls so that God can pay attention to us and not be mad and smite us. Everything we are, according to Paul, everything we are, everything we have, all that we will ever be, is a gift from God through faith. Believing in that reality, there is nothing that we can do to earn it so that it is owed to us. It is the mercy of God, and that should and must fundamentally shift the way we look at everything, which then fundamentally changes the way we act and what our allegiance is to and how we behave as a response. So Paul is saying God's love is unbelievable. We should be in awe. It should compel us to turn away from our lowest, from our basest, from ourselves that hide in the darkness, and walk into the light and receive this gift that is available to everyone. Man, that is the good news. Now, Father, thank you. We believe and we hope in you, and we receive your mercy. We cannot earn it, and we do not deserve it, and we never will. Look at us. If we look at ourselves in the mirror, there's no way. Even we know we don't deserve anything from you, even though we demand everything. So we are humbled at your mercy, your kindness, your grace, and bestowing upon us an invitation into relationship with you that transforms us from the inside out, giving us a new nature, allowing us to start over, allowing us to be born again. Gosh, we look at our lives so often and think, if I could just go back and do that again, I would do that so different. I have so many regrets. And we cannot go back to the past. And yet spiritually, you are saying we can be born again. We can start anew from this point. Holy Spirit, come. Help us to absorb this fully in a way that transforms the way we look at everything. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home. Daily Audio Bible app is home. One's on the web, one's in the app store. Check it out. Be connected, stay connected, get connected in any way that you can or that you will. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there, either in the app or on the web, for the journey that we are on, and to take that journey deeper and wider. And so be familiar with that. Be familiar with the different sections on the web or in the app, and be connected and stay connected, like I keep saying, a little bit redundantly today. We're a community, though, and that's it's important, since this is a daily rhythm and we're showing up for each other every day to stay connected in any way that we can. And so let's make sure that we do that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humility. Humility that we've gotten 20 years into this. Humility that we need to be in this together or we can't be in this at all. Humility that we are. And so thank you for your partnership, especially as we navigate these summer months. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. Or if you are in the UK or Europe, you can dial 44-2036-088078. Or if you are in Australia or that part of the world, you can dial 613-88205459. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. It is Dr. John from Jordan, New York. Today is July 14th. And family, I would like some covering prayers for my son, John, and his wife, Michelle. They are going to be getting induced today. Michelle is due tomorrow. So they're going to start the induction today, and she's been making some good noises, like she's ready to go into labor, so hopefully it won't be more than a day. But I would also like you to please pray for their salvation. Please pray that this miracle of birth will show them God's presence and His grace and mercy in their lives. Appreciate you. Love you. Dr. John, signing off. Bye-bye.
Hi, family. This is Dawn Rising in Michigan, and I called in about a month ago for a prayer request, and I think it was played on the community prayers, and it was for my daughter for clarity and just God's peace, and she is a young teenager, and so I was just asking for prayers for her. She had some confusion and self-harm and things. And I'm just calling in a praise report to tell you that She has acknowledged that she's been relying on these self-destructive things instead of leaning on Jesus. And when she was at a church camp, she stood up, my quiet daughter, stood up in front of over 200 of her peers and proclaimed Jesus as her Savior and that she's going to lean on Him. And I am just beyond grateful and thankful, and just ask for your prayers that this will continue once school starts again. It's just a really difficult environment, and to be in junior high. And so anyway, family, if you could just pray for her to continue this journey and this trust in our Lord Jesus. And I pray for your children as well. Bye.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible friends and community. I'd like to request prayer for my wife. My name is Jim. I'm from Pennsylvania, and my wife's name is Bobby. She's going through cancer right now. She had her left kidney removed. She went through chemotherapy. She went through immunotherapy. And unfortunately, the cancer has spread. It's in her liver now. And we're probably going to have to put her in hospice. And she's really suffering and in a lot of pain. And I just ask for prayer for her and for my family. God bless you.
Prisoner of Hope, this is God's Life Speaker. I am listening to the community prayers of June 14th. It is actually July 14th today. You are calling in and giving prayers as always, as you do so faithfully. May God bless you in your faithfulness to praying for everyone. You were praying for Vivian's son and New Envision Growth and Redeemed in Southern Illinois. But you had mentioned your voice was just so rattled and shaken for the salvation of your lost family members. And you were thanking people that continuously pray for that and pray for your family. But it wasn't your usual voice. And so let's pray for you. I pray whatever was happening that day or whatever got you that day that is past. But until your family members are saved, yes, it feels like there's no settling, but we need to trust Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for Prisoner of Hope and the continuous prayers she always brings before you for everyone in this community. So we bring her husband, her children that are not saved to the throne of grace, knowing that you already know the end of their story. And we're just going to need to trust in that. We're going to need to lean in, come up from the wilderness, leaning on our beloved, Psalms 8:5. Lord, just strengthen Prisoner of Hope. May she see her loved ones saved. May it be in her days. May she be part of it. We ask in your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray.